In his sequel to the New York Times number one bestseller, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, Mitch Albom tells the story of Eddie's heavenly reunion with Annie, the little girl he saved on Earth, in the novel of how our lives and losses intersect. Mitch Albom is the author of many bestsellers, including Tuesdays with Maury, The Timekeeper, For One More Day, and The First Phone Call from Heaven. The new book is The Next Person You Meet in Heaven. It is published by Harper, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mitch Albom back to the roundtable. Mitch, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, so at what point did you think, I want to write a sequel to The Five People You Meet in Heaven?
Oh, 2 years ago, I guess, when I decided to do it. I, you know, published the first book 15 years ago, and I'm not really a sequel writer, so I've never done any sequels before. I never created a character to come back. But of all the books that I have written, that's probably the one I've heard the most from readers saying, you know, what happened to the old man who died and went to heaven and met five people who explained his life? That's supposed to be the first stage of heaven. What's the next stage of heaven? What happened to the little girl? And you can't just stop the story there. So, you know, I thought about it, but I never really turned my attention to it until in the last few years. I've had a lot of loss in my life of family members very quickly in a row, and sort of turned my mind a little to heaven, I suppose. And I thought, well, 15 years, that's probably long enough. Let's go back to that world and see what happened to the little girl.
So at the opening of the novel, Annie, the little girl, is marrying, and it is ultimately that day where sort of an unimaginable thing happens.
Yeah, you know, the first book was about an old man who saved a little girl named Annie from an accident in an amusement park. He pushed her out of the way from a falling cart, and the cart hit him instead. He died. He went to heaven and met five people, and she lived. This book, it starts with following what happened to her after that accident, and we learn that while she was saved, it was a traumatic event that actually kind of blocked her memory from the whole thing and left her kind of physically scarred. And her whole life, she can't really remember what happened that day, but she knows some kind of mistake happened, and she thinks it was her fault. So she grows up shadowed by that and kind of thinks everything she does is a mistake. Everything she gets involved with, high school, relationships, job, it's all a mistake. And she finally, in her 30s, gets married and thinks that she's finally hit some happiness. And as you point out, the book begins on her wedding day, where they end up going for an ill-fated balloon ride early in the morning. And as with the first book, which began with a countdown to Eddie's death, it ends up being a sort of countdown to her as well, launching into her own journey in heaven.
And that allows the reunification, if you will, of Eddie and Annie.
Exactly, which was really the core behind the whole thing. The next person you meet in heaven refers to the fact that when you first get there, the five people you meet in heaven are people who explain these little things in your life to you that you may not have understood and show how you may have misunderstood a lot of things about your life. The next step is you become one of those five people for somebody else. And in Eddie's case, he is one of the five people for Annie on her journey. And so the next person he meets in heaven technically is her. And of course, you know, it doesn't happen at the beginning of the book. You know, we sort of build up to it. She meets other people along the way and tries to figure out what happened to her on her dying moment. But there is a reunification of Eddie and Annie in which Eddie is able to explain to her that all these mistakes that she kept thinking that she was making in her life actually fit into a pattern that she didn't understand.
Do you think when you're writing these books, do you think of them as parables?
I think of them as fables, especially these two. You know, clearly it's not a nonfiction book. I didn't go to heaven and do research. And it's a little different than a novel, for instance, For One More Day or The Magic Strings of Frankly Presto, that my last book that I wrote. You know, you have to sort of take a leap of faith and understand that, you know, we're creating a world here with the larger idea of teaching some kind of lesson or something like that. And so I guess fable is probably fable slash novel. How's that? Fable novel. Bobble. Nable.
But you certainly you get this reminder that we can indeed survive the losses that we have in life, and that when we have this trouble in our life, it is also the beginning of something that's hopefully more wonderful.
That's right. And I think, you know, as someone who went through the Tuesdays with Maury experience, and had the opportunity to sit alongside someone who was dying. And I wrote a book about that. And after that, I met so many people who are dying, who died, who have lost somebody, have been exposed to it so much. And I think it's almost an obligation on my part to try to share that there is a way of looking at it that isn't all heartbreaking. And the best way I can give you that example is a little thing from the book that I wrote as much for me as for the readers. It's a moment when Annie is, I won't say who she's speaking to, but she's got a character in heaven that she's meeting, and she's lamenting all her losses, like you said, and her heartbreak and things like that. And she says this to him, and he takes out these pipe cleaners that play a part in the book, and he takes one little pipe cleaner and makes a tiny little heart out of it, perfect heart. And he says, you see this heart, a small, perfect heart? This is the heart that we're born with. It hasn't been through anything. And then he takes the other four pipe cleaners, and he makes this bigger heart that's crisscrossed and lined all the way through it. And he says, you see this heart? This is the heart we die with. And she says, but it's all broken. And he says, that's right, many times. And she says, that's what ruins it. And he says, no, that's what makes it whole. And that philosophy of understanding that the heart breaks and the lines that we get across our heart, yeah, they form cracks, but the cracks let the light in, and the light illuminates a very simple thing, that's what makes life precious, and the thing that we still have, and the people we still have, and the time we still have precious. If you never lost anything, you'd never appreciate anything. You know, you just figure everything stays forever. So in some ways, the longer we live, the more our heart is going to be lined, and that's sort of more the way we know that we cared about people and cared about things that we lost. And having lost my mother, my father, and a little girl that we were raising as our daughter, one of our orphans from Haiti, within 3 years, I had to kind of adopt that philosophy, or else I would have never stopped crying. So I hope that's helpful to other people who pick up the book, who share it, and they've had losses, or they've thought of themselves as someone who makes mistakes all the time. Neither one is really true.
You wrote The Five People That You Meet in Heaven 15 years ago. So when you revisit these characters, and you were starting to write this with Eddie and Annie, did those voices come back to you rather naturally?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I generally, when I write a book, I go through it so many times when I'm writing it that after I turn it in, I never read the book again. Because when it's in a hardcover form, you can't change it, you know, and that ruins it. You know, like if you see a sentence that you say, oh, no, I could have done that better, and you can't do anything about it. So I generally don't read them over again. I know them so well from, you know, the time I turned them in. But with The Five People You Meet in Heaven, when I decided to do a sequel, I actually took that book off the shelf and sat and read it like anyone else from the beginning to the end. And by the time I finished it, I was totally immersed in the voice that I had used. It was like finding something in the attic and opening the box, and it was totally pristine. And I actually sat down and wrote the first paragraph of this new book right after I finished the old one, and found that the voice came quite naturally back to me. And Eddie was based on an old uncle of mine anyhow, who he talked like this, and he was a tough guy and never been nowhere, never done nothing. And so that was easy because, you know, he's been with me my whole life, and sort of getting to write him over again was actually enjoyable.
Do you enjoy this part of the process, going out, meeting the people, meeting the readers?
I do, because in my books, I guess if I was writing, I don't know, high-tech or science fiction or fantasy, you know, it would be more like you're going out and you're meeting people who like your work. It's good for your ego, I guess, but it doesn't really change your process. Your imagination's going to be your imagination. In my case, you know, a lot of what I write is to try to connect with readers. And when they come up, and I don't have like normal book signings, I don't think. People don't just come up and say, oh, thanks, I love your books. You know, can you sign this one too? They come up and say, can I tell you that, you know, my brother died of cancer, and we read The Five People You Meet in Heaven together, and that was such a big help. And he had a question about this. And you end up learning through a few hundred people every night. You end up hearing so many stories about what your work means and how it affected them and what parts of what you write resonate. It really helps me when I go back to write again. You know, I'll be out on this book tour for a few months, and I'll meet thousands of people by the time I'm done, and I'll hear several thousand stories. And that, you know, for someone who writes to sort of get response and affect people and teach things, it's very helpful. It's like the difference between, I don't know, a professor who just delivers lectures, or a professor who sits amongst his students and listens and talks to them. You know, I don't, not that I'm a professor of any kind, but I know that, I guess the Maury reference is kicking in there. Yeah.
Well, the name of the new book is The Next Person You Meet in Heaven, a novel. It is the sequel to the number one New York Times bestseller, The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Mitch Albom, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck on the tour.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book, The Next Person You Meet in Heaven. It's published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.